This is The Takeaway. I'm Lynn Scherr. Here in New York City, a special man was memorialized yesterday by some very special people. You remember him as Walter Cronkite, TV anchor, star journalist. But some of us got to know Walter as an even more stellar human being.
As the son of a sailor, I went out on the sea for adventure.
Jimmy Buffett sailed with Walter Cronkite and sang this song for his sailing buddy. He was one of many who recalled his puckish sense of humor. Buffett had gotten a phone call from their mutual friend, the late Ed Bradley from CBS News, who was questioning whether to wear his earring on 60 Minutes.
Walter said, it doesn't matter whether he wears an earring as long as it's a good story. That was Walter. And then he added, he said, almost in that long John Silver tone of voice that he had, he said, if I was going to wear an earring on 60 Minutes, I'd wear one of those big, long, dangly ones.
Former Grateful Dead drummer Mickey Hart called Walter a great drummer and played his own tribute to the man with Walter's own red drum as part of the set. Later, I ran into Walter's son Chip cradling the drum like a precious gem. I ran into Chip in my apartment building where Walter also lived before he died in July at the age of 92. Everyone there loved him too. He was, some of the staff told me, just such a decent man. Just ask Bill Clinton, who told this story about the summer of the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
He did something for my family that was so simple, and even now it's hard for me to talk about. But in a very tumultuous summer in our personal lives, 1998, we were up on Martha's Vineyard, and Walter Cronkite picked up the phone and he said, Betsy and I want you to go sailing with us. He said, somebody might take a picture of it, but so what? I'll never forget that. At the time, I could have done with a picture with Walter Cronkite.
Bob Schieffer was one of Cronkite's closest pals at CBS.
I shall never forget one night at a book party here in New York. And I was standing over in a group, and I was talking to Peter Jennings and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, and we were having a big time. And I thought it would be a great picture if I could get Walter over there with all of them, all of the anchors of the day, and get their picture together. So I sought Walter out, and I found him, and I said, Walter, would you come over here and get a picture with all these guys? And he looked at me, and he said, could you tell them to come over here? I'm trying to get a drink, and I don't want to lose my place at the bar.
Walter Cronkite never took himself too seriously. His wife, Betsy, who died in 2005, made sure of that. Once, when we had dinner together some years ago, at a time when Walter's hearing was just not what it used to be, I asked what the worst part about that was. Easy, he told me. Missing Betsy's one-liners. He did not miss much.
When people of both political parties actually tried to recruit him to run for office without even asking for his stances on the issues, he said no to the relief of all potential opponents. And when, even a decade and a half after his retirement, he still ranked first in 7 of 8 categories for television journalists, he was disbelieving that he hadn't won the 8th category, attractiveness.
Walter Cronkite took us to the White House, to China, to space, to a deeper understanding of the world we live in. But mostly he took us as individuals, people he wanted to inform and wanted to know. And that's the way he was.
As the son of a sailor, I went out on the sea for adventure, expanding the view of the captain and crew, like a man just released from indenture, as a dreamer of dreams and a traveler.